Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that can get that spot out of the carpet. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope,
your crew admits they are late to the party. We give Alcatraz the review treatment, and Adam is still holding out for his Redskins to make an appearance in the Super Bowl this year.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Salutations, everybody. This is The Scope.
I don't know why I always play that.
I love it. Scope program number 119. And it's a full house. Adam is here, Jared is here, and I am here as well.
We're almost close to a gross.
What is a gross?
Isn't it 144?
How many stones?
It's a murder. We're close to a murder, I think,
yes.
Right now.
We're getting it. 120 is a murder of podcasts, I think that's the official.
We've slowed it down.
We haven't done the show in like 4 weeks. So.
Yeah. This isn't our first show of 2012, is it?
No. We did a 2011 recap, don't forget.
Oh, that's right.
First show of 2012.
Well, welcome to 2012.
Thank you.
And the Scope program, Adam.
It's
been a long time.
I know. We're going to start doing this daily, I think, though, right?
Daily? We're going to go back to that idea.
I don't know about daily. But
hourly.
We're going to start doing an hourly podcast. We should probably go back and revisit our plans to kind of switch up the program a little bit.
We should.
Yeah. I kind of got backburnered, and then we bought a new range, and we forgot to keep it with the... Anyway. What's up on the show, Shane?
I love kitchen humor.
Cooking humor.
So
that's actually the new direction of The Scope.
Nothing but kitchen talk.
Kitchen talk. Or specifically kitchen humor talk.
Yeah, I mean, everybody does kitchen stuff.
Right.
But the humor aspect is woefully undertaken.
Have you watched the YouTube series Drunk Cooking?
No. This is a thing?
Oh, yeah.
So tell us about it.
It's this hot chick that gets drunk and like tries to make stuff.
You had me at hot chick.
Right.
Derek, is there any way you could look for this while we're talking about it?
Of course. I have a new computer that is
lightning
powerful. Fast. I can do this stuff. This is like nothing. I'm at YouTube.com and I just look up drunk cooking.
Oh, wait a second. .com. What is that all about? What does the com stand for?
Shane, Adam? There is a top level domain, otherwise known as a TLD.
All right.
This is very scary.
My Drunk Kitchen, is that what it is?
Yeah, that's it.
There we go. Wow.
I have a few to choose from. Anything in particular?
Is there a topless one?
There are multiple.
I'll just go with the first episode entitled Butter Yo Shit. Let's just see what this has to say.
A lot of times it devolves into peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Welcome to my drunk kitchen.
I love it already. And what you wait, you said hot chick.
Is that a questionable judgment?
She's all right.
Yeah.
Certainly not ugly, but okay.
Jared. Give me a Minnesota and LA scale for her.
She's an LA 3 and a Minnesota probably 6 or 7.
Could any of the three of us get her?
She's got short hair and glasses, so she looks very Minnesotan.
There are episodes where she looks better, and she's also drunk, which I think adds at least 3 to her score.
You're right.
You do have seen her. Is she gettable for any of us?
I'd say all of us, maybe at the same time.
Oh,
wow.
I don't like that kind
Depends
of kitchen
on what she's
humor.
Making. Anyway, that's enough of that.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
Well, there's more. I mean, this is 5 minutes. I don't make up the whole thing.
Just random.
Shane, copyrights, man. I can't play the whole thing.
I understand. So it has been a long break for us. I wanted to go through...
She looks a little better in the 4th of July episode.
Yeah. Oh, she has sparklers on her hoo-haws?
No. Just the glasses are gone. She looks like she maybe put on a little makeup, and she's holding a donut. She's
trying a little better.
She's holding a donut. She dolled herself up. I like it. So let's talk about what we've done in the past. For Adam, I think it's been past 14 weeks. We've got a lot happening. Like Jared and myself, it's only been a month.
Hanukkah's
passed. Are you sad that Hanukkah's behind us and you have to wait
No, you know why? There's a Hanukkah ahead of us, too.
That's the thing,
Shane.
That's
a very deep statement.
Shane, you're either looking forward to Hanukkah, you're enjoying Hanukkah, or you're looking forward to the next Hanukkah.
Right. Yeah.
That's how it is for Jews. I'm guessing.
Could you apply that to Christmas as well? Or
No. Christians just hate for pretty much 364 days a year.
Yeah, and then they fight with their family on Christmas. So in the past month, what have I done, Jared?
There's been some illness, you've done some stuff around the house.
Yeah, I've got three things to talk about. Number one, bathroom. We were talking kitchen remodeling. We remodeled our bathroom.
All right, what's the next thing?
It's gorgeous, by the way. You got to come over and look
at it.
Did
you do it drunk?
I did it drunk. I wore glasses and I wore a donut. I held a donut the entire time, just like that.
How much of it did you do? I mean, it was all contractors.
It was all contractor. Right. What we did was pick out the stuff and then
and sign the check.
Sign the check. We went to the.
Yeah, I saw you taking pictures like every day. Yeah. Did the contractors mind you always over their shoulder taking pictures?
Well, they weren't there 24. It wasn't like we had some sort of Hispanic work crew there 24 hours a day.
They
so we
set up a camper
12
out back
hours a day. And, yeah.
But I would, you know, they would be in the other room cutting tile, then I'd quick run in there, see what they've done, take a snapshot.
What was the nationality of the workers?
It varied, but the demo crew definitely was Hispanic. I don't know from which country they
came.
I'm going
to probably go with Guatemala.
Guatemalan.
Okay.
Two guys. One guy spoke English. The other guy did not.
Yep.
The main contractor,
By the way, Guatemalans, great work ethic.
Sorry.
Exactly.
We're going to let Adam's going to go through each Hispanic country and tell us the work
and
ethic.
And that's why I picked Guatemalan, because we all know Mexican crew would have taken much longer to demo.
Right. Yeah, I mean, obviously. Just look at Arizona.
Slowpoke Gonzalez. Speedy's cousin. Real character.
I did not know that.
Right, yeah.
And then
oh, Speedy.
Daniel DiPortato.
Yes. Daniel DiPortato.
The plumber was I don't know.
Joe? Was he named Joe?
He's probably Joe. I did not see plumbers correctly.
Jose.
He was not Hispanic.
Okay.
You don't
was he very Republican?
I don't know, but he did have to bring
all in, Joe's the plumber are Republicans.
In a surprise twist, he did have to bring in a jackhammer into our foundation to move the drain of the shower, which is kind of interesting.
So you're saying he was American?
American. You don't let
terrible work ethic.
You don't give Hispanics jackhammers because you just don't know what they're going to do.
All right.
They might make a drug tunnel, would be my guess.
Very likely.
Yeah.
Very likely.
A lot of drug tunnels up here in Minnesota,
they'll
by the way.
Start a drug tunnel anywhere, Shane. They don't care how far it is to the border.
And then the sheetrocking crew and
this is where we generalize about Mexico.
The tile guy.
Okay, I don't care. I have a question for you.
Please,
though.
Please.
We have a small segment of our audience who are interested in home improvement.
Yeah.
So Adam, let us indulge them
and hit us with a kitchen joke.
Let us indulge. Right. They've been waiting for all the politics and sports.
This is somewhat unrelated, but also it might be related. If you saw a man on the street wearing a jean jacket and jeans, what would you say his outfit was called? A something tuxedo. No?
A denim
Tennessee tuxedo?
Tennessee
tuxedo?
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
Why?
Because
most people up here have
called that a Canadian tuxedo.
Oh, yeah, that's
I've heard that. I don't know if I've ever heard that.
Okay. Definitely heard that.
But growing up for me, that was called a Mexican tuxedo. So I thought it was weird that I came here. Right.
Everyone, no. Everyone knows you accessorize a Mexican tuxedo with a sombrero.
Well, that's fine.
Clearly.
They may be holding
pocket full of burritos.
What about one of those delightful blankets with a hole cut in the center?
And poncho.
A poncho.
Yes, I like a blanket with a hole cut in the center.
That's
a bright blanket.
That's really more dinnerware.
Right.
It's like a bib. It doubles as a bib.
Yeah. Very messy eater, you know. Coverage in the front,
have you ever
in the
had
back.
A burrito?
I have
very
had a burrito,
messy.
But in all of my burrito eating experience, I've never actually got burrito stains on my back.
Well, that wasn't an authentic Mexican burrito.
You eat it and just explodes in three dimensions?
Yes. Right now, I'm pretty sure that Tennessee Tuxedo is a cartoon character. And,
is he a bird of some
sort? I just don't remember. I'm relying on fan of the show and friend of the show, the great Luke Ski, to tell us what Tennessee Tuxedo is. I could Google it, but I'm not interested in that. I'm looking for Luke Ski to call in and tell us about Tennessee Tuxedo.
And Luke Ski has a great hatred towards Hispanics as well, so he'll have a lot to chime in.
As well. I don't think any of us have this as well thing makes no sense to me.
Fun fact about his stage name, The Great, actually is a shortened form of The Great Hatred of Mexicans.
The Great Hatred of Mexicans, Luke Ski.
Yes.
It was
unwieldy, so he decided to cut it down.
I think that's probably a good promotional decision.
Yeah.
Just imagine the cost, the ink cost alone if you're printing up flyers.
If you go back and you look at it, it always says The Great, and then there's a period right there to tell you it's an abbreviation of something.
Great wink.
Right. And yeah, there is a winky face, too. That's actually in the dot.
For those people that know, in know. With
and me. If he's ever quoted by the AP, they'll always put those square brackets and fill in the full name, just so you know. Just so you know, for reference sake. They like to be accurate.
Is Luke often quoted by the Associated Press?
I can't say. He probably has the statistics on that. So, if Luke, if you're going to call in and talk about Tennessee Tuxedo, we want to know about your AP quotation rate as well.
He's going to call in and be very confused. Like, how did this turn into his closet racism? Poor Luke. Okay, so number one, bathroom remodeled. Number two, I just got off of great parenting duty. My daughter was sick for an entire week. She missed a week of school, and it has been absolute insanity.
Mono?
No, not mono. We don't really know. Like, ear infection, high fever. They just medicated the crap out of her.
I have a question. Anyway. I have a question for
you. Please, please.
At what age is it still, would it be acceptable if I'm not making this joke, but if the joke had, if I had said, is it AIDS? Like, when, what's the age range where that's an okay joke to make?
Six, definitely, or seven. Okay. Not appropriate. Unless it was one of those crazy blood transfusions.
But it's also not appropriate once, you know, I mean, I don't mean to ruin anything for you here, but at some point in time in the future, hopefully far in the future, you know, she'll have
AIDS is what you're saying. What?
She'll have AIDS.
I also have a question.
Oh, okay.
How would you compare her work ethic in relation to Guatemalans?
Well, fun fact,
I did hear she just missed a whole week of school, so
she was helping her mother clean. But we
Which
do not trust
is really
her.
Nothing because we know Guatemalans don't go to school.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
At least not on this country.
We don't trust her with cleaning us like chemicals, so she only got a paper towel and a rag, and she was cleaning the TV, so they probably look terrible.
Wow. Well, she knows what a TV is.
Yeah, she does know what a TV is. She does not know how to use a jackhammer to work on the bathroom floor, however.
Well, disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
So much for that career option.
So we had that, so hopefully that's behind us, and that will allow us to have a Super Bowl now that she's on the health or Super Bowl party, Jared. She's
I was
on
the say, the
track.
Super Bowl is going on with or without you.
We got a phone call from the Kraft family asking us,
is she okay?
Shall we postpone?
Yes. Because
it's their choice.
And then they sent us a case of a delicious SpongeBob Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Is that the mac and cheese of choice in the Shane household?
No, my daughter hates macaroni and cheese. She eats like
weird
three things. Oh, I know. Tell me about it. Pasta, not her thing.
All right.
And then the
it's
final
too squishy in the mouth or something. Like, is it a texture thing? You think?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm trying to relate. I understand kids being picky eaters. It's just like that's a weird thing to actually.
But she hates almost everything.
The
so
show has become Shane raises a topic and Adam and Jared riff on it for 20 minutes.
Okay, here, Mystery Science Theater guys. Let's see if you can riff on this. Finally, big announcement. I can proudly proclaim that I finished my fourth video game of 2012.
Wow, that's
yesterday.
And what game is this?
That game was Assassin's Creed
Revelations.
Revelations.
All right, I just I bought that game from Amazon. I tried to cancel it. They had already shipped it,
because he has a great hatred of Italians, which that game features.
No, I just didn't. I knew I wasn't going to get around to playing it.
Yes,
and I was like, I'll rebuy it when it's $30 or whatever.
Mm-hmm. That's when I bought it.
They processed my return, but then mailed it back to me. So
did you get charged for it, or is it a free game?
I got a free game, and then I sold it on half for like $50.
Wow! All
right. So I didn't wind up playing it. Did you like it?
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar. I didn't play the prior game, The Brotherhood, but I played Assassin's Creed 2.
Okay,
which I liked a lot.
Brotherhood is my favorite because it introduced the whole dynamic of your team of
that's all in there too.
Again?
Yeah, that's all in there.
Cool.
The other three.
What's the scope score?
I'd probably give it 3.25 on that one.
The scope score is 3.25
that
stars.
Is fast, Jared.
Can you run down real quickly the other three games you've beaten this year? That's a lot of games. A lot of them you started last year, I assume.
Only one I started last year.
Right.
One that I started last year, which I might have even started in 2010, was God of War 3 for the PlayStation 3. And then I went on to Uncharted 2 because I had the PlayStation 3 hooked up.
All right.
And then I went on to Uncharted 3 and beat that.
All right.
Which, you know, Uncharted and Assassin's Creed actually have a lot in common in terms of they do a lot of grappling and climbing of crazy objects and mountains and buildings. Sure. And I think I like how Uncharted works a little bit better. I feel like I'm in a little more control. But at the same time, there's some things that almost like are automated, whereas with Assassin's Creed, you can be climbing something and try to jump up, and then you'll jump off and die. Or grab onto something you don't want him to, but there's a little bit more of a flexibility in what you do. But I liked it. Now I'm just kind of cleaning up some things and getting some achievement points for the Xbox Live system, and then I will move on to another game.
What's next in the queue?
Well, I've got some choices.
All right.
Oh.
Should this come in coming soon? Should we hold these?
No.
All right.
No. And these are all games I own. One of my goals this year was to not work on anything portfolio and creative and career related. Instead, just play video games all day when I get home.
And how's that going so far?
It's going great. Obviously, I do not have a portfolio site, Jared. I've been talking about that for 8 years. But I have beat 4 games this year, so that's good. So I have a bunch of games. I've got Gears of War 3.
All right. I beat that.
I've got Skyrim.
All right. I gave up on that.
I've got Fable 2, which I haven't started.
Here's my suggestion. Don't play Fable 2, and I will suggest a better game for you in coming soon. Yes.
I've got...
Fable 2 was fun.
I've got the new Zelda, which I can play. I've got...
Supposedly good, very long, though. Padded out.
I think my feeling is that I want to go with Gears of War 3 because I can beat that one the fastest.
Probably, yeah.
And then I can start looking at some of the longer games. Oh, and I've also got Battlefield 3, which, you know, was more multiplayer, but, you know, I'm sort of tired of the Modern Warfare because I just beat the crap out of it for about 2 months. So I'm thinking Gears of War 3. What do you guys think?
Sure.
I played and beat that one. I did not like Gears of War 1 or 2. I started both and never actually finished them.
Yeah, I never played 2. I beat 1.
Something about 3 clicked with me, and I was able to enjoy it.
Is it a faster game? How long could it take me to beat it?
It's probably 8-10 hours if you want it to be. It's pretty straightforward. I mean, there's not like, you know,
shoot.
Side missions.
Yeah.
I tried the multiplayer. I wasn't really into that. But, you know, for kind of a two-week-long playthrough sporadically, I thought it was pretty good.
Yes.
And I kind of read some backstory stuff to kind of get
yeah, I'll read the Wikipedia entry on Gears of War 2, so I'll be all caught up.
Yes.
Yeah, it's fun sort of clearing out your stuff, Jared, and feeling like you're accomplishing things on video games, but once again,
just accomplishing anything. I'm currently building the Lego architecture series of the White House.
Ooh.
It feels feels good to
build. Do you have your little Newt Gingrich minifigure that's going to be
No, I do have my last 2 years of Obama Christmas cards that I will be displaying next to it.
I like it. Yeah. So we know who you're voting for.
And I may go get a black, what are they called, minifig. That's what they call the little men.
Yeah, they do.
And put him...
Do black minifigs have black skin, or do they have yellow skin?
Head's black.
Okay.
All right. Oh, no, maybe they are yellow. Hmm.
Are they all yellow, or do they have... I mean, Lando Calrissian, I think, has brown skin.
What?
If you think of the Lego minifigures.
No.
Yeah, the Star Wars ones, they don't have
your
yellow.
Pronunciation.
I just like to say it very dramatically.
The Star Wars ones, I don't think they have.
Yeah,
I think they have flesh-colored and, you know, white and
the
black
ghosts
and
are,
whatever.
Yeah, the ghosts are always white, or the skeletons are...
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
White power is what you're saying.
I feel like, though, a black one would probably look like it's someone in blackface, right?
Because so it had the to eyes be brown, be, then. They're not going to actually give him black skin. That would mean it's like a Death Eater or something.
Good point.
So that's my life. You two, we've only hammered out about 25 minutes. What's going on with you guys?
We'll split these into multiple smaller episodes.
That's the A block. That was the plan. Jared, yawning. He's exhausted. We've lost him. Anything happening for you,
Jared?
Nothing
terribly exciting. I had a clogged drain that I had to get a plumber in to fix. That was
giant
a tub drain.
Shite.
Just hair and crap, you know. So that's exciting, I guess. Money spent.
Mm-hmm.
Single words.
Well, that's very exciting.
And I'm just back to band rehearsals, getting ready for MarsCon, really.
What was the nationality or ethnicity of the plumber?
Just a white guy.
All right. Boring.
Interesting.
Guy. Nothing fancy there.
I wonder if the Hispanics can't crack the plumber's union.
Yeah, no racial stereotypes I can tap there. We've been doing our band rehearsal, and since we don't have a bass player, we've been coming up with ways to work around that.
Has that been a creative and exciting challenge for you,
so.
Or do you not like it?
No, it's fine. Actually, John and I are playing bass.
Wow.
We're switching off on songs.
Is
so.
This for MarsCon? Is that what you said?
Yep.
When is that?
March 9th through 11th.
Okay. I saw...
a month away.
I think Luke Ski's going to be there. I saw him post.
That's his big... That's one of his big Minnesota
Luke's
appearances.
Big comedy music track there. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool.
Exactly.
And what about you, Adam?
I just got back from Columbus, Ohio.
The great state of Ohio.
Uh-huh. It's home
the
to...
The Ohio State.
The Ohio State University is there. Yeah, exactly. That's kind of
emergency
a cool town.
Trip.
It was an emergency trip. Yes, one of my coworkers got sick at the last minute and had to go to the hospital. It was, I mean, with a fever. She was fine. It was just like 104. So,
well, that's what my kid had, and we did not take her to the hospital.
Yeah, her doctor said go to the hospital, and she was like, all right. And then the hospital was like, all right, here's fluids, and here's it's probably going to be a huge bill.
But, healthcare. That's the problem right there.
Right. I was at home on Monday working from home. And then Tuesday at 7 a.m., I was flying out.
The red phone rung, like in Batman.
It's surprising this doesn't happen more often, I guess, for us. It's really rare, so that's good. And then it was a really good group, so I didn't care. I would have been pissed if it was like a
bunch of a-holes
yeah.
wearing Mexican tuxedos.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm excited. Wits is coming up soon, so we're going to buy tickets for that in a couple weeks.
Wits?
Wits is the series that the NPR does at the Fitzgerald Theater. Where
so snooty.
I don't know if it's snooty. Like, Paul F. Tompkins will be there one night.
With his crazy teeth.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Last year they had four shows. John Hodgman wasn't one of them. Yeah, they're just kind of different, and they do interviews and music and good stuff like that. So that's usually it's like one a month, like March, April, May, June. So excited for that.
Yeah, it sounds very exciting.
Yeah. Excited for some video games coming up soon. I have quit Star Wars The Old Republic.
He's out.
Already?
Yeah, it's just then. I don't think I can play MMOs anymore. And just...
Why? Because you're old?
Yeah. I feel like World of Warcraft came along at a good time in my life, you know, for if I wanted to play those games, which apparently I did because I played it for like 7 years.
Well, Jared, all that work you put into the
Star Wars.
World of War or Star Wars update to soundbite, gone.
Yeah.
Thanks, Adam.
I got a question for you on it.
Yeah.
Let's say there's a person who is okay as far as video game competency goes.
And his name might rhyme with Smarin.
But he's never played a World of Warcraft or really any MMO type game. Uh-huh. Is this hypothetical person, if he or she were to get into Star Wars The Old Republic, would they have fun or would it be a frustrating experience?
I don't know. I feel like if this person played Knights of the Old Republic, either one of those games when they were out in the early 2000s for the Xbox.
This person probably owns both of them, but played them sparingly.
Okay.
Does this person switch off on base from time to time?
I feel like the game will probably go free to play within 6 months, so I would definitely wait until that happens.
Free play, and then you pay for a fancy upgrade?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think that that game you can probably get a decent amount of enjoyment of if you want to just play it single player, but then it's an MMO, so you know, you get to the end, and it does have a class story, so that you're, you know, you do effectively have an end to the game.
Sure.
But it's not really the end of the game, because then you can keep on doing raids and stuff that require like 8 or 16 people. And, you know, if someone were new to an MMO, I would think that that would be a turnoff once they, you know, get to the end of the single player experience. And then
because this hypothetical person is no good at making friends, or
no, just because it's different, and
right.
You know, like here's what I would say: if you have friends that play that game,
yeah, and I'm sure I do,
try to play it with them.
I mean, this person probably doesn't, right? <I'm guessing>.
Right. I mean, I have friends, but I mean, this person probably doesn't. I don't know.
I was thinking more from a mechanics or from a
the mechanics of a MMO are all very static, yeah. And you know, run up to a bad guy creature,
yeah.
Press one to do your basic attack. Press two to do your other attack that has like a 5 second cooldown. Press one again. Oh, you blocked something, and that means now you can press three, which does like, you know, a special attack that you can do now because, you know, something else happened. Now your secondary attack has come off cooldown, so hit two again. That's how MMOs work.
Oh, you must be sold on it. With that.
I'm not,
and three.
I'm not. I'm just talking about this hypothetical situation.
Smarid might be.
I would. You know what? I mean,
is it a good Star Wars adventure? Is it like, do you feel like, oh, I'm in the Star Wars universe? This is pretty cool.
I did. I liked the story.
All right.
And the problem with,
are there any huts in it?
There are huts. You can, if you're well. And here's the thing. It's a BioWare game, so I don't know if you play if this person played Mass Effect, but you know, Mass Effect has the whole you can be a good guy or a bad guy thing. This game has the same thing, so even if you're playing in the Empire, you can be a good, you know, a light side Empire player, or if you're on the Republic, you can be a dark side.
So you're.
And yeah, and
so your allegiance doesn't have any bearing on,
exactly.
on what your character is like.
You can be a dick, and it's kind of funny, or you can be a nice guy, and then you have companions with you the whole game, and they get all pissed at you if they're like a jerk companion and you're a nice guy. They're like, "The fuck's wrong with you?" But not saying the F word.
I'm frack.
This guy, a hypothetical person, is out if there's no spoilers. Okay, we've heard enough, I think.
Okay, you're done.
Yes, I will forward this information to the person who may or may not be interested in playing. And
I would say if the person likes Star Trek, Some people, Star Trek Online went free to play recently, and some people are really digging that game for whatever reason. It's Star Trek, so it's like light on combat, just like Star Trek has always been, other than J.J. Abrams' version of Star Trek. And people seem to like it, and it's free, you know. And
free is good.
Yeah, it's something worth
trying. I will advise our hypothetical case to maybe look at Star Trek and also wait it out and see if Star Wars goes free to play.
There you go.
Very good. Well, guys, one thing we cannot wait on, because we were like 40 minutes into the show.
25.
Okay, whatever. An hour and a half into our show.
It hasn't all been about Shane, so we got to move on.
It rarely is. But we do need to talk about football.
Oh. Well. Do they use this anymore? I feel like they changed it.
They do.
I think Skillex did a dubstep version of this that they're using now.
All right, I'd like to hear that.
This is, this is officially Fox's theme, and... Yeah.
So, listen, guys. We got a Super Bowl to talk about. We'll do it briefly. Patriots, Giants, and a rematch of the 2007. One of the best.
Played in 2008, but 2007 season.
One of the best games in the history of football.
Yeah.
They're back. You know, these guys don't like each other, they often say. There's no love. There's no love lost here. I'm going to go out and say it right now. This is one of the first Super Bowls where I really don't care who wins. I have no opinion or no feeling on who is going to win, so my guess will be slightly arbitrary. I'm wondering if either of you...
Well, your guess is arbitrary regardless.
Well, it is, but even super arbitrary.
Okay. Here's my feeling.
Go.
I watched the Giants lose badly to the Redskins twice this year. Mm-hmm. I cannot pick them to beat any team, so I have to pick the Patriots.
Points, please.
Points.
Score.
Score. What's
final score?
The scope score is... What are we doing? 27.
Interesting.
17.
I don't know how you get to 27.
You get 27 real easily.
Yeah, that's true. All
two right. Field goals, three touchdowns. Kaboom.
All right.
Skadoosh. Jared.
I think it's going to be a relatively low-scoring game. Not going to be, you know, we're not going to see scores up in the 40s or anything.
I think
like
the over-under is like 65 or something.
Could I throw this word into the mix?
Yeah.
Barn burner?
It's not going to be a barn burner.
I don't even know what a barn burner is in terms of football.
I think there's too much defense on the Giants side.
Mm-hmm.
And the Patriots have played better defense. But I don't know. I feel like the Giants have been on a good run. But Patriots, they always seem to find a way this season to get it done. And so I'm rooting for the Patriots. I think they're going to win. And my final score is 24-17. So similar to...
I don't know how you even get to a 24.
Three touchdowns and a field goal.
It's almost like if you had one more field goal to that, you can get 27 really.
I don't know how that works.
I'm going to chime in right now. I've had a change of heart. Now I really feel like I'm invested in this game after listening to you two talk about it.
And you have to go Giants just to be contrary.
I'm not going with the Giants. Oh, all right. I'm going to latch on to a statement that Jared said, which is the Patriots always seem to find a way to win, especially this year.
They didn't in 2007.
They didn't. But I think that they're hungrier now than they've ever been before.
Okay.
I don't really like either one of these teams greatly. I don't dislike them, but I think I dislike the Giants more. So, therefore, I am picking the Patriots as well. Boy, you guys, can I bid $1 and really screw you guys over on this? I think...
Do 25.5 to 17.
Wow. That's...
I'm going...
Those are Vegas numbers.
I will go 31-20.
Okay. 31-20. Interesting.
Patriots win.
I think of more of a solid win there.
Yeah, right. A little bit. But I think at the end of the day, Tom Brady's your guy. We've seen Mr. Manning have up-season downsies, as they say.
Yeah.
And they did lose twice to the Redskins, correct? Yes.
I think the key to this game is how well does Rob Gronkowski play. If he's able to play at his normal skill level, I think the Patriots will destroy them. But if he's not, if he's injured, or if he's already injured, but if he tweaks his injury and isn't effective, then that's troublesome.
Well, yes. We'll have to see, and we'll enjoy it tomorrow, Jared.
And I'll enjoy it if he can keep on tweeting pictures of naked ladies.
Is that his thing?
He was banging some porn star and tweeted a picture of...
God, I gotta see that.
I should follow the Gronk.
The Gronk. The Gronk is official.
Can I go to GronkNation.com and get his Twitter handle?
Sure.
I like it. So there you go. Football has been selected. Wow. Our next show in 2013, we will tell you the score.
So this, we're recording this Saturday before the Super Bowl, which is tomorrow, and this will release on Monday. So you'll know. You're hearing us make picks. You'll know who the winner is.
Unless Jared like comes in afterwards and edits it. My pick is 25 to
It doesn't matter.
It's not as if like there's any sort of financial reward on the line here.
Oh, can you ask Siri who's going to win the Super Bowl?
I don't know. Can't you?
No, I don't have that on my phone. Let's do this, Jared.
Yeah.
We have three
generations of iPhones here.
I feel like we might be past the let's make Siri joke.
I just want to see what it says.
I think so, too, but I'll update Tiny Tower while you do that.
When are we ever past any jokes in this place? Give me a break.
Hey, let's hold on a second here.
You got to get close to the mic.
Right? Where is the speaker here?
That's got to go in the front.
Who's going to win the Super Bowl?
Oh, come on.
Try one more time.
Let's go to commercial! Go to commercial!
All right, here we go. I need silence, though.
Okay.
Who's going to win the Super Bowl?
Checking my sources.
Wow. She's got sources.
I found this for you.
What'd she say?
She's telling you when the Super Bowl...
Oh, come on, Apple. It's all gone downhill since Steve left. All right, forget that. Didn't work.
Lame.
So,
if you want the attendance history, she's giving me that.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll edit that in as well. So we've got a new bit on the show. We're calling it Late to the Party. Jared and myself and Adam as well. We will be talking about things in the world of popular culture that maybe passed by months or years ago and we're finally getting into. So that ought to be kind of interesting.
You heard of this thing called an Xbox, Shane?
Oh, my God. I have not. We'll be reviewing Alcatraz, the new show from the creative team, including J.J. Abrams. So that ought to be fun. And Adam is going to do some news and the rest of the Under the Scope business. So it should be a completely expected show.
Great. Right. Tune out now.
So let's take a quick break. We've got to take a break, and then we'll be back with more Scope right after this.
MetroBuzz, a pop culture podcast launched in 2007 by two native New Yorkers, featuring a guy obsessed with a retired reality television show and a girl who possessed an odd fascination regarding a double toilet, which, during its run, succeeded at covering everything in the zeitgeist of internet culture, creating an unparalleled online community, and teabagging a hybrid. MetroBuzz was one of my favorite podcasts, and without them, it's just been so hard. That's what she said.
Hey everyone, it's John.
And Colleen.
I know we haven't been around for a while, we've been locked in a bitter custody dispute over Irish Matt, but we're putting that aside to talk to you guys right now about something very, very important, and that is we are coming back.
Maybe. That's up to you guys.
We're like a prize fighter coming out of retirement. And you know who our opponent is? Autism. Every year, you guys know Jay and Jack do the 30-hour marathon podcast to raise money for Autism Speaks, and this year, we're taking part in it, if you guys want us to.
And if TalkShoe lets us, of course.
Here's the deal. We want to raise $2,000 for Autism Speaks, just the two of us, just Colleen and I, to bring MetroBuzz back. If you guys want to donate, send money to the PayPal email lpdonate@gmail.com. We raise that much money, Colleen and I are back.
That's right. lpdonate@gmail.com. In your comments section, put for MetroBuzz, March 31st to April 1st.
So guys, do it up. If you want MetroBuzz back, yeah, you guys know you've missed us. Be honest. You have to donate. lpdonate@gmail.com. We want $2,000. We know you guys can do it. I know times are tough, but I think you guys have it in you. If we get $2,000 by April 1st, 11 a.m., we're back.
That's right. Thanks for listening. And we hope that you want to listen again.
Talk to you guys then. Hopefully.
Peace.
We are back. I love the hard rockin' music. Bow! Jared, crank it. Never gone on that long.
That one goes on this long.
He stayed up all night producing that. Every single Jared did the
whatever
drums. He's now playing bass. He did the guitar.
Butch Vig actually came in last night.
Ah, really?
Yeah.
Well, isn't he like a quasi local? So that would make sense.
I think Milwaukee or something.
Madison. Yes. Madison. So everybody, we are back. Whoa. Episode 119. Our new bit called Late to the Party.
Oh, yeah.
Let me read all the canned text that I wrote on this, which I probably already said in the prior segment. So this is going to sound very repetitive.
Buck up.
I'll do my best. It's a brand new segment. Today we dish on the not-so-latest things.
That's for a brand new segment.
I love it. In pop culture, we're just getting into ending the sentence with a prepositional. Not a phrase, just a preposition. But what we're saying is that it's okay to be better late than never at the end of the day. So the three of us, we've all selected something to talk about.
And Bonnie
Raitt
is
Bonnie
my choice.
Raitt.
Okay, well, why don't you start it off, Adam, since you're so into Bonnie Raitt and that delicious redheaded
streak in
lady
her hair, yeah.
With that big white skunk streak.
Like my mom was really into Bonnie Raitt when I was growing up. Just like, and that's the only song I remember, but I heard it.
She loved the slide
time.
Guitar.
All right. I don't know how long these are meant to be, so I'm going to make mine short.
Yeah, given our first segment, we should probably.
Oh, please. I've got four pages to talk about my topic.
So I picked The Modern Lovers.
What's that?
The Modern Lovers was a, get this, proto-punk.
Proto-punk?
group from the early 70s, headed up by Jonathan Richman, who, if you are going to pretend like you don't know him, well, guess what? You do. I'll tell you why I know that in just a second.
Is he the guy from Something About Mary Music?
Yes, okay. That's exactly who it is. So the band's
sound... He has done a few things since then.
that's what I was going to say. I think everyone knows him from that. The sound of the band is direct derivative of the Velvet Underground. Mm-hmm. And the original band even included drummer David Robinson, who went on to be in the Cars, and keyboardist Jerry Harrison, who went on to be in the Talking Heads. The band only lasted from 1970 to 74 in its original iteration. Since then, Richman has always kind of either gone off by himself and had the Modern Lovers as a backing band. So you'll often see songs attributed to Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers, but the Modern Lovers and that are always a different group of people other than one guy. I'll mention here in a second. So one, probably their most well-known song is called Roadrunner. And we'll have a clip here in just a second. But first, a couple things that have been said about the song. Critic Grail Marcus described it as the most obvious song in the world and the strangest. Rolling Stone ranked it as number 269 on their list of 500 of the greatest songs of all time. As a teenager, Richman saw the Velvet Underground perform many times, and the format of Roadrunner is derived directly from the Velvet's song Sister Ray, mm-hmm. Where Roadrunner mainly uses two chords rather than Sister Ray's three, though they do share the persistent throbbing rhythm and lyrics, which in performance are largely improvised around a central theme. So let's take a listen.
Let's.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6!
So in contrast to Lou Reed's performance during Sister Ray, which is a song about debauchery and decay of the American society, let's say. Richman's lyrics are both passionate and candid, dealing with the freedom of driving alone and the beauty of modern suburban environments. Because when I think of suburbs,
of course,
I think of beauty. specifically, his home suburbs in Boston, Massachusetts, or just outside Boston, Massachusetts. Let's see. So more recently, you may have seen Richman. He's become well known for his appearances on Conan O'Brien, frequent guest there.
The TBS version?
Both. Okay. He became a semi-regular musical guest on NBC, and I think he's been on two or three times already on the TBS show. And then, as we mentioned earlier, in the modern pop culture zeitgeist, he's probably most well known as appearing in There's Something About Mary, where he and...
He's like the Greek chorus of the
exactly.
film.
Exactly. In fact, that's what Wikipedia says. They said he's part of a two-man Greek chorus that comments on the plot of the film while performing in framed action itself. I think there's four songs mm-hmm. that they perform that show up on the soundtrack.
It's a movie I've not watched in a long time.
But we saw that movie three times in the theater.
I saw it three times in the theater. I have no idea why that's I kept seeing it.
Beyond the second Star Wars movie, that's probably the first Star Wars movie. That might be the only movie I've seen more than once since then.
I saw Titanic five times.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And then I had my ovaries removed.
There we go. So, quick question, Adam. Yes. How did you discover these guys? How did they come into your life?
Some girl that I liked once mentioned them, and I was like, I have no idea. I'm going to nod and be like, yeah, I like those guys too. But I was like, I don't know.
It's all a lie.
Yeah.
And that girl was named Mandy.
No, trust me. My musical taste, I don't have to get any sort of help from her. So
I don't know what that means, but it doesn't mean she doesn't have any.
It means she has. I am the one with the good musical taste.
What is her favorite band? Quickly.
Well, she likes to tell me that it's Dave Matthews Band or OAR.
It's actually Kesha,
but it's not.
OAR.
It's a jam band.
But so, who does she listen to in the car?
I don't know. If I'm not around, probably Guster.
Okay. Yeah, that could be worse.
Yeah.
I was thinking something like Toby Keith or something.
Oh, no, no.
Keith Urban.
Keith Urban, yeah.
Toby Keith Urban. It's a before and after.
That's a Wheel of Fortune before and after puzzle. Yeah. Toby Keith Urban, Jared.
Which one owns the country bar down the road from us?
Toby Keith.
Toby Keith, of course.
Which may be closed because...
Head lice. Head lice.
St. Louis Park has a rule that they don't allow bars. In St. Louis Park, a bar is defined by like 70% of profits being made from alcohol, and
there's 98%
yeah, like they're like restaurants have to have like a 50-50 split, and it's not even close there. So
our alcohol laws of this,
I know.
But they're still so crazy. Stupid. It's like I don't know what they're trying to prevent, but
anyway,
a lot of them date from like Prohibition and pre-Prohibition stuff.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Sorry, off track.
Are you done, Adam?
I am. Yeah, so okay. I've...
I like it. I think that's a good pick. I mean, you went deep into the...
Well, here's the thing. Other than, you know, trying to impress chicks, like, I feel like I don't get into anything else because I know it's awesome
when
it happens.
Yeah, you're right there.
Hey, you
There's
once
no
told
need
me,
to backtrack.
You once told me that, as we were starting the podcast...
I don't believe this. I had
gotten into some band, and you were like, you always pick stuff, like, before it gets popular. So, I felt good about that. When I impress you, it makes me feel good about
myself. The thing is, I gotta say stuff like that to keep you coming back to the show once every 6 months. That's the key. Well, here's what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about something that I'm assuming both of you have seen, so we can actually have a good... I hope you saw this, Jared. Did you not see this?
I don't know what it is, Shane.
Oh. But yours is the true surprise. Mine is not. So I picked the movie 500 Days of Summer.
I have not seen this.
It is
despite my love of Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
So let me give you the Wikipedia summary and see if I can make
you
it.
You say Wikipedia, like the wiki part, you say you like you put an emphasis Wikipedia. On a weird...
Quick.
I think it's the second I or something. Wikipedia.
Wikipedia. So director Mark Webb's 2009 comedy. I have that... I wrote that part.
Well, 50-50 is called a comedy, too.
Yeah, questionably comedy. Yeah. Features Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Zoe...
So is Big Mama's House. Come on.
Yeah, very true. Zoe Deschanel. I think that's how she pronounces her name.
Oh, whatever.
It's D?
I thought it was...
Deschanel?
Maybe it's Deschanel.
Well, supposedly Sarah Michelle Gellar pronounces it Gellar.
So. Well, that's how Howard Stern pronounces it. She's a new girl, Big Shot. That's what I had written here, dude. That's one of the reasons why we watched it.
Now single.
I know. Finally. They star in the wry, non-linear romantic comedy about a man who falls head over heels for a woman who doesn't believe in love. Tom, played by Gordon Levitt, is aspiring architect.
Joseph?
Yeah. No Joseph.
Well, it's hyphenated, so you have to say both the last ones.
He's an aspiring architect who currently earns his living as a greeting card writer. Upon encountering his boss's beautiful new secretary, his boss was played by, and I just saw him in a movie yesterday too. He's
Phil Hartman, back from the dead.
Too soon. The guy in all the Marvel movies who plays
Stanley,
who plays the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. Yeah. Who's not?
I don't know who he is, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he played sort of a strangely effeminate boss.
Interesting.
And he also was in Mr. Popper's Penguins yesterday, which I watched with my sick daughter. Don't even get me started on that. As his beautiful new... Okay, let me start over. Upon encountering his boss's...
Mr. Popper's Penguins got to derail the whole thing. You just had to admit to that, didn't you?
I saw Mr. Popper's Penguins before, like, The Artist. What is wrong with my life?
You have a kid. You were housebound.
Upon encountering his boss's beautiful new secretary, Summer, played by Zoe, Tom discovers that the pair have plenty in common despite the fact that she's seemingly out of his league. For starters, they both love the Smiths, and they're both fans of surrealist artist. I don't even know how to pronounce a surreal artist. How about that? Before long, Tom is smitten. All he can think about is Summer. Tom believes deeply in the concept of soulmates, and he's finally found his.
So her name is Summer.
Yes, that's how you get the name. And I didn't know that until I saw it. Unfortunately,
now I don't have to watch it now.
Unfortunately for Tom, Summer sees true love as the stuff of fairy tales and isn't looking for romance. Undaunted and undeterred by his breezy lover's casual stance on relationship, Tom summons all of his might and courage to pursue Summer and convince her that their love is real.
And at what point does he become Cobra Commander?
Now, he's not in the new one.
We don't know that, but I'm praying that he is not. So our only clip from the movie features Tom discussing what he loves / and hates about Summer. Yes, it's showcasing the non-linearness that dominates the entire film. So play that clip, Jared.
I don't know, man.
He's talking to his friend right here.
I'm in love with Summer. I love her smile. I love her hair. I love her knees. I love this heart-shaped birthmark she has on her neck. I love the way she sometimes licks her lips before she talks. I love the sound of her laugh. I love the way she looks when she's sleeping. She's like the wind. I love how I hear this song every time I think of her. I love how she makes me feel. Like anything's possible. Like, I don't know, like life is worth it.
This is not good.
I hate Summer. I hate her crooked teeth. I hate her 1960s haircut. I hate her knobby knees. I hate her cockroach-shaped splotch on her neck. I hate the way she smacks her lips before she talks. I hate the way she sounds when she laughs.
She's like the wind. I hate this song!
Son, you're going to have to exit the vehicle.
So there you go. I'm not going to spoil how things go, Jared, because I think you might actually like this movie.
Yeah, it's on my list. Oh, that's what I was going to do. Go ahead.
So here's what I liked about this movie, and I know that people that I've talked to about it either kind of feel the same way as me or don't really get it, but the entire movie is really done from Tom's perspective. So when you see Summer in the film, and you've seen it, right, Adam? Yep. So you see her, and you only kind of get a picture of who she is through how he sees her. So she seems kind of like a sort of either a hyper-romantic or a very shallow character, but you never understand her motivations. And Carrie, my wife, really did not like that. She's like, well, she's such a bitch. Why would he ever be in love with her? But I think the point of the writing of the movie was that there's probably a lot going on with her that you don't know, and you don't ever really know in this film. Maybe until the end a little bit, you get a little bit more insight into her.
That's probably in the novelization.
Yeah, probably. But I liked that take on this. It wasn't a he said, she said kind of thing. It was all his perspective and how he saw her at that particular day, one of those 500 days that he knew her. So I think that gave him more depth and also made him not always the greatest guy as well, because he clearly was judging her based on what he wanted to see and what he could see of her rather than who she actually was. I think that was a fairly novel approach for a romantic comedy. And by the way, this really was not that funny of a movie.
No.
It was a couple chuckles here and there, but I think it was overall more of a serious take on what a dude in his 20s who happened to be smitten by love, how he would go through a beginning, middle, and end of a relationship. And it also tied a lot into him being in a job and a life where he really wasn't happy. So he was trying to find meaning in that as well. I think he was projecting his meaning onto her.
Yep.
And
this is very serious, Shane. Very,
yeah,
very
but
serious.
I just thought it was a movie that I really thought about after, you know, Carrie was like, that wasn't very good. But I thought about it for days and tried to kind of get a feel for.
I like your Carrie impression.
Yeah, pretty good, huh? Pretty good. I thought, you know, like trying to get a handle on it. And
how did she act when there was a spider around?
Oh, God almighty, Jared. I can't even do that. And then the one thing, I won't spoil the ending, but I liked how it ended, and it made me want to see what the next step was going to be for him. Like, okay, this is a story that could be told and seen.
200 Days of Winter. Yeah, well, meets Winter, you're the getting, new girl you're getting in his life.
You're very close, yeah. Jared. You're warm. But, yeah, so I loved it. I thought it was interesting. And
Winter's Coming could be the tagline for part three of this movie, I guess.
And he's now dating a short, dwarfish character. Right. Who?
so,
your take, Adam.
Yes. This movie, I have a lot of feelings about this movie, and they kind of go in a lot of different directions.
Sure.
Sidebar, this probably should have been the last one we discussed, because I don't know that mine is going to generate such the conversation.
Oh, it's going to.
I genuinely dislike Zooey Deschanel.
Oh, really?
I don't know exactly what it is about her that I dislike. I really do. I don't care. Like, her sister doesn't bug me or anything, so it's not like it's... Because they look like the same person.
They're very
almost.
Similar, yeah.
So I don't know
what it
is. Her
sister is not nearly as quirky and,
no.
you know...
As what? Adorkable?
Yeah. Adorkable, yeah.
We don't say that anymore.
But, I want to say I disliked her before a New Girl. Okay. So
I've always liked her. I've loved her in Elf. I think she's the cutest damn thing, and... Yeah. So you're wrong on that one. Sorry.
Okay. I liked her in the Douglas Adams movie, the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
You're
not
way
a great
out of the
movie,
curve.
But I liked her.
So
and Sam Rockwell.
But on the other side, I really like Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Like okay. I don't.
He's a good actor, isn't he?
I think everything I've seen him in the last 6 or 7 years, I've liked a lot.
Mm-hmm. And to think we projected this career arc for French Stewart.
Right,
honestly,
right.
We never saw Joseph Gordon.
I would argue he did top out in Third Rock. I mean, that is the acting pinnacle.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a little kid, but he was playing an old alien.
Right.
I mean, that is good stuff. It's no Cobra Commander. Anyway, sorry we interrupted.
No, it's okay. So, sometimes
French Stewart.
I look at this movie and I don't really understand.
That's my French Stewart
impression. I don't know why I don't know why the movie is cut the way it is.
Non-linearly.
I almost wonder if they did that to make like
somebody got a new copy of iMovie.
Right. Would the movie work if it was just told straightforward? And I don't really know why it's told in a you know, future back, future, you know, all over the place sort of way, like to make it just seem more interesting.
Part of it is you get insight based on how things flash back. So you might see something in the future and you're not quite understanding why it is that way, but then they'll go back and you'll see, oh, I see, this is why he reacted that way.
Sure.
And I mean, it may work linearly. Yeah. Maybe they tried to do it and it just didn't.
My other thought kind of goes with, you know, what you were saying before, how it's from his perspective. So you could almost look at it from the idea of this, it's actually him in the future kind of thinking back on his relationship with her.
Sure.
And he, you know, like, he's having a good day.
So he thinks about the positive things. Sure.
Exactly. But it's hard for me to get over Zooey Deschanel, just my dislike of her. But the movie is really enjoyable.
Yeah.
It's got a really good soundtrack. The Hall & Oates musical number in the park is kind of funny.
It's sort of out of place.
It is.
You know, it's you know, because that's all I heard about with that movie. Like, oh, they got this musical number with Hall & Oates.
Yeah.
But it does. There's nothing zany like that anywhere else in the film.
Well, and again,
but it's sort of like it captures his, you know, his. I mean, that is the pinnacle for, you know, the endorphins and the love in his life, and
right.
So that was just sort of the personification of that. By the way, fun fact: they wanted Hall & Oates to be there in that scene at the end, and he said they backed out kind of at the last second. Which is stupid, by
and
the way.
This movie reminds me a lot of Eternal Sunshine.
Yeah, another interesting movie,
right?
Very interesting.
And I like both of those. I like both the
before,
movies
quite a bit. After,
it's doing apple sticker comparisons.
So. Yeah, I'm glad that you picked. So you just watched it recently?
Yeah, we just watched it because we had our TiVo completely empty for like 2 weeks. We said we can watch movies that we own, and that was one we watched.
Yeah, I'm glad that you saw it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. So there we go, Jared.
We might as well just skip mine because I will
hit the home run right out of the park, Jared. Hit the ball.
All right. Well,
poor Jared. We're going to make this. Adam and I are going to make this good for you.
I picked a TV show, and the reason I picked this, and I started got into it because.
Oh, please let it be Small Wonder.
No.
Damn it.
It's not that old. It's only it made its the US version started in 2011. And I started seeing ads for it in Entertainment Weekly in like December and January because it was starting up. It's a Showtime show and it's called Shameless. I don't know if either of you watched the show. I
have not watched it.
Did you call it Shameless? Is that our new podcast without Shane?
No. Yeah.
Well, it might be faster.
So, it's, like I said, it's a Showtime show, and I didn't know anything about this. I just saw the ads. I'm like, oh, season 2. I'm like, let's see what this is all about. So I fired up the internet, and I got season 1. Found it, as it were, just, you know, sitting in a corner.
Well, I hope this doesn't make it to the FBI.
Right. So anyway, the show debuted in January 2011. It's based on a UK series of the same name. I don't know how closely they resemble characters and plot. I didn't really do that research, but... I just stuck with the U.S. version. And the premise of it is basically a series follows the dysfunctional family of Frank Gallagher, a single father of six children. While he spends his days drunk, his kids learn to take care of themselves. And every episode is a lot of all these kids do things to keep the family going. Everyone has like little odd jobs they do to raise money and kind of throw it into the family pot. And dad is usually off drinking. He only shows up when his disability check is due to show up. So notable cast members: William H. Macy plays Frank Gallagher, and he's drunk most of the time.
Sloppy.
Except for the one episode where he goes sober because he's going to get paid $3,000 if he can stay sober for 2 days. And turns out the family hates him so much sober that they force alcohol down his throat.
Wow.
William H. Macy, one half of everyone's favorite celebrity power couple, William H. Muffman.
Yes, exactly. another notable cast, Joan Cusack.
Oh.
She plays a housewife named Sheila Jackson. And she actually is an agoraphobic, and so she never leaves the house. She has a daughter and a husband who, early on in the series, leaves her, moves out, and then moves back in because he can't afford to live on his own, and he moves into the basement. Which is funny because Frank has since abandoned his family and also moved in with Sheila. And very strangely, he actually plays the husband and father role with them for whatever. It's very strange.
Weird.
So he ignores his own family, but ends up becoming a father and husband to another family, which is very strange. I have a clip for you, and this clip is actually, it's sort of long, but it's a opening monologue to the first episode, and it's Frank explaining who all of his kids are, and that's actually a good way to kind of set up the series, so I'll play that for you.
Nobody's saying our neighborhood's a Garden of Eden. Hell, some people say God avoids this place altogether. But it's been a good home to us, to me and my kids, who I'm proud of, because every single one of them reminds me a little bit of me.
So they're all outside in the neighborhood sitting around like a fire, bonfire, the whole community, and they're just having a big party. And it's kind of, camera's kind of panning across all the children as he explains this. Mm-hmm.
Fiona, my rock. Huge help. Has all the best qualities of her mother. Except she's not a raging psycho bitch.
Blow.
Lip, smart as a whip. Straight A's in the honor roll. Boy's definitely going somewhere.
Maybe in jail.
Ian. Industrious, conscientious, ambitious, incredible work ethic. Don't have a clue where you got that from. Wants to be a paratrooper.
He's in ROTC, so that's where he gets his discipline.
Knows how to disembowel an enemy with a roll of dimes and an old gem sock. Carl. I don't really know that much about Carl. Oh, loves animals. Always dragging home some poor stray he found. Taking him up to his room.
He's holding a cat and a blowtorch. Carl is has a few behavioral issues.
That's psychopath murderer behavior.
He likes to melt action figures over the toaster.
Ah, Debbie, sent by God. Total angel. Raises money for UNICEF year-round. Some of which she actually turns in. Liam, gonna be a star. I'm no biologist, but he looks a little bit like my first sponsor. He and the ex were close. Kev and Veronica, fantastic neighbors. There's nothing they won't do for each other. Or to each other.
That didn't hurt half as much as I thought it would.
I never realized how little sex I was having till V and Kev moved next door. And me, Frank Gallagher, father, teacher, mentor, captain of our little ship. We may not have much, but all of us, to a man, knows the most important thing in this life. We know how to fucking party!
And then he proceeds to spend the majority of the first episode passed out drunk on the living room floor.
Easy acting for him.
As the family kind of revolves around him going through about their life. It's sort of a fun show in that it's just insane what happens. I mean, there's usually some sort of central plot that is just absolutely crazy, one of which is... social worker shows up, or somebody with... Maybe it's someone with Social Security or someone like that who's showing up looking for... their aunt, who supposedly lives in Wisconsin, but is having her Social Security checks delivered to their house in Chicago. And this is news to the family, and they go to Frank, and Frank's like, yeah, she's dead. And so the social workers, or the social security person, is going to come back the next day and want to talk to the person who is receiving the check. So they end up having to borrow someone who is probably an Alzheimer's patient from an old folks home, and she fills in as the family member in question.
Oh, no.
And there's many crazy plots of that. So I've been enjoying the hell out of the show. It's a lot of fun, so I'm looking forward to getting through season one and starting season two.
Hasn't just been renewed again?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, right. Season two just started in January again, so.
Is it more of a drama, more of a comedy, or a mix of everything?
It's a mix of everything. There's a lot of funny stuff, and there's a lot of just crazy stuff you'll laugh at, but it's serious. I mean, there's like... It's this family is on the poverty line and just trying to make ends meet, you know, and everyone's like Lip, who's short for Philip, he takes SAT tests for people and gets paid that way.
Oh, ripped from the headlines.
Yeah. You know, Fiona, the oldest daughter, who's, you know, basically the mother of all of them, she just does whatever work she can to bring money in, you know. And it's, I don't know, it's fun. I like it.
Well, way to go, Jared. Way to discover something new.
Yeah, thanks to a print ad in a magazine.
There you go. That's all it takes.
Those really work.
They do. Yeah. Advertising is not a farce.
Oh, also, if you like boobs, there are boobs in every episode.
Oh, I like that. So I'm going to have to tune into that show. So there you go, guys. Late to the party. Brand new segment is over. I thought it worked very well for us today. We have to revisit that in the future. So start looking into old things, boys.
No. Recap. What did we talk about?
Adam.
Modern Lovers.
Yeah, there you go.
Shane, 500 Days of Summer, and Jared.
Shameless, the U.S. version on Showtime.
There we go. So tune into all those things. Listen to those things.
Yeah.
Be a part of those things.
Okay.
All right, so let's take a break. We got music, and then Under the Scope coming up right after this.
It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Yep, I got another song from the 89.3, the current song feed of the day. It's a little band called the Duke Spirit. The song is called Don't Wait. Wait, there's more. Hey, make sure you tune in every morning, listen for the Party Chicken for your chance to call it and win right here on the Scope.
Time changes every idea I've ever had. Oh, such a heavy love rolls out like a blanket. Why must it fold up on me? Why must it fold up on me? Slow replies when I'm hungry enough to give. Lust is thrown around my room, I better get out of here. You can lead me on all the way. Don't say a word. Oh, don't.
now return to the scope. Just for the hell of it.
Under the scope.
Howdy do. We're back.
Howdy do.
Adam's going to do a little bit of news. Get those papers straightened out.
Yep. Papers.
Let's see. We've got.
Why don't you have your what was your
tablet?
Did you get that cheap tablet?
Yeah, you got a cheap tablet. Did it break already?
No.
Well, it's the tablet is not cheap. I got it for $400 off.
Right.
Does you use it on a regular basis?
Yeah, I use it every trip I go on. I use it as my bedside.
Why don't you use it for your paperless
porno
office?
Machine? His bedside porno machine.
It does play black.
I did not think of it.
All right. Carry on.
How did you gather these stories? Are you going to tell that story? Or is it just not good enough?
I put a thing on Twitter and Facebook.
Social media.
This was a public Google Doc. I said, hey, add some news stories to this. And instead, people just commented on Facebook. And they're like, hey, here's stories.
People cannot follow directions.
I don't. You click a thing. Whatever.
Adam is so angry, and I don't blame him.
I mean, I appreciate the help, but.
Who let you down? Name some names. Who did it wrong? So they never do that again.
Liz and Dave.
Liz and Dave.
They don't listen
on.
To this, so.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'll try to get. Donald Trump endorsed Mitt Romney this week.
The Donald.
A couple days ago.
How do you think Mitt's felt having to stand next to that moron up on that stage?
I don't know that Mitt feels, so I think he was fine with it. His wife, on the other hand, seemed just thoroughly embarrassed.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like a sideshow, doesn't it? I mean. It's like an advertisement for The Apprentice. Is what it should have, that's what it's time.
I'm sure that's exactly what it was for Donald Trump and for Mitt Romney. It just looked embarrassing. Yeah. So, I mean, now you have all the easy clips that anyone can play of Donald Trump being insane and then Mitt Romney praising him. So
I don't get it.
It's weird.
I don't get the Republican pool this year, the field, whatever you want to call it. I don't get how a rational, sane person who is of a Republican or is right-leaning could look at any of those candidates and go, yeah, I want that person as my president.
Well,
sorry.
A lot of people clearly didn't want Mitt, but, you know, that pain train keeps rolling on.
Yeah. Pain train. I like it.
And Obama's loving it, so there you go.
Yeah. Well, unemployment down a little bit.
Everything's coming up Obama.
So.
What color is his minifig?
That's an eternal question, Shane.
I know what minifig means because that's a reference back to the beginning of the show, but minifig could also be a genitalia reference.
Or it could be a tiny Fig Newton.
Yeah.
Tiny.
I mean, Fig Newtons are already small.
Yeah, but I think they actually do have smaller ones called mini Fig Newtons.
All right.
Bite sizes, they say.
Let's see. Oh, Queen. You guys fans of the band Queen?
Now, let me tell you something.
all right.
I follow a guy on Twitter who said, Queen went from being my all-time favorite band to my least favorite band in one tweet or something like that.
All right.
And I tried to look it up, tried to figure out what it was, and I had no idea. So does this relate to that? Okay.
Yes.
I'm excited about
this.
So
first, there were rumors recently, I didn't know this, that Lady Gaga would become the new lead singer
for
Queen.
Now that is bizarre.
But the Queen said, no, that's crazy. Instead, Adam Lambert is now set to replace the late Freddie Mercury as the lead singer of Queen.
Okay.
And yeah, I thought that maybe they tweeted something about how, you know, all gay people should be put in ovens and melted. I mean, what's so wrong about that?
I don't know.
I mean, they will never have a credible hit. Adam Lambert is only going out there to sing their songs. And I've seen Adam Lambert on TV sing Queen songs, and he can actually sing Queen songs. So what's the beef, sir?
I don't have any beef with it. But your guy that you follow on Twitter does.
We'll do it live.
Lambert said, the intention is to pay tribute to Freddie and the band by singing some fucking great songs.
There you go.
There you have it. Wow. News is just scintillating right now.
The Lambert-led, slightly tonguier version of Queen will debut at this summer's Sonosphere Festival, with future performances and even possibly recordings to be worked into Lambert's solo career.
Because that part is really hot. You can't stop him.
Speaking of music...
Yeah.
Lana Del Rey.
Oh, here we are.
Lana of the Sun.
Music in... quotation marks.
She debuted, her full album finally came out.
I mean, we've all been waiting. Pins and needles.
I've been waiting since the 4 days prior to her, when she performed on SNL. We actually heard of her.
And I say perform.
How do you think,
like how many copies?
No, not how many copies, like, you know, did she premiere at number one on some scale, on some Billboard chart, like 100?
I would say...
Well, I'm going to beat you to it. She debuted at number one in 14 countries on iTunes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. I what am I missing?
I don't know, Shane, but I'm looking at a page on BuzzFeed as 30 pieces of Lana Del Rey fan art. So obviously we're missing something.
The U.S., U.K., Italy, France, Germany, Finland, Austria, Switzerland, Ireland, Greece, Belgium, Portugal, Mexico, and Luxembourg. Like, that's its own country.
It's tiny. I think this basement is as big as Luxembourg.
How when she just debuted this past week, right?
I mean, yes. There was nothing else.
So, well, I mean, and we'll see how she trends after this, but I think this just upholds the maxim of that there is no such thing as bad press.
Okay, what's worse, Lana Del Rey or the new hit sitcom, Rob?
What was that word you said?
Rob.
I don't know what word you're saying.
The copy of
Rob.
No, Rob.
Rob.
What's worse?
I haven't watched Rob, and...
I'll tell you.
All right. Tell me.
I'm gonna go with Rope.
Have you watched it?
No, but
well, how can you say that? Deuce Bigelow is a funny movie.
I'm using my gut on this
one. Deuce Bigelow is a really funny movie, guys.
Come on, because it stars Cheech Marin.
Yeah, it's not Cheech Marin anymore. It's Cheech Marin with Rope. I'm learning from my daughter how to pronounce.
Oh, she's in a Spanish immersion school?
Yeah.
Right? That's right. That's good.
Thanks for paying attention to my life. Thanks.
Hey.
Thank you.
Hey, how's Rope. That bathroom coming?
And now Adam with the news.
What do you can go upstairs, Jared. Use that bathroom. How about we're going to shut that door and lock it?
What do you guys think about the odds that The Office continues after this season?
I think it's pretty good that it's going to continue. I don't want it to.
Given the
ratings are down this year.
Well, but the only show that has any sort of significant ratings on Thursday night is The Office.
Yeah, it'll go on if they need it to.
So
this one is a catch scratcher. Though.
Dwight's already.
He's planning for the
mostly
future.
Confirmed to be gone after this season, and now
is it really confirmed, or are they just bouncing around ideas?
Mostly confirmed was what I read. Deadline's now.
Who told you that? Lana Del Rey.
Deadline is now reporting that Mindy Kaling's Kelly may also be off the show, as Mindy Kaling has a contract with Fox. For a pilot.
That's right. They should just end it then. I mean, if you're losing all of your creative energy and people, forget it. Just
well, they're going to pull a Frasier.
A Frasier.
I thought that's what your story is going to be. The spinoff about Schrute Farms.
Yeah, but he won't be on The Office.
Sure. Yeah. Saying. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, then they'll cancel The Office, and then it'll be Schrute.
Yeah, because that'll be a show that people want to watch.
Well, they've got Mose. Unless someone taught Mose the sex, that baby is mine. You know, Joe, I think Adam's mustache.
I'm glad I watched that this morning because I know what you're talking about.
I think Adam's mustache might be slightly crooked.
Speaking of NBC.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Your mustache is crooked. Oh, yeah.
speaking of NBC and their ratings. And their ratings.
I like that. Let's just
start it over.
That's like the Robin Quivers when he's talking. That's Adam's music. We'll just crank that every once in a while.
Sweeps.
Remember that, Jared.
February sweeps just started.
Yes. Did they?
Thursday night.
When do they start usually?
February.
Oh, okay.
Thursday night.
Now the show's catching fire,
NBC,
Jared, right now.
Sixth place. The CW and Univision both beat
no
NBC.
No way.
Yes.
Is it Univision or Univision with Krob?
Sure, both.
Jared, if Univision had a one star on that network, who would it be? If they had to get one guy.
Who?
If Univision had to get one famous person to be on that network as their figurehead, their star, who would it be?
Antonio Banderas?
No. Cheech Marin.
Cheech Marin, okay.
All right.
So we've got a very Latin flavored episode. It's very strange.
I think I'm going to write that down. The scope goes Latin.
They were in a statistical tie with Univision, though Univision technically won. Helped immensely by the fact that NBC's 10 p.m. show, The Firm, pulled in a 0.9 rating.
Is it Latin or Latin?
Is that a demographic or overall?
That is an overall rating.
9 people.
0.9.
Oh. Only 900,000 people?
Yes.
Watch the really?
Yes.
I thought it was doing well.
No.
You know that the firm,
they canceled it. They canceled it last night.
Did they?
The firm is a spinoff. It's like a continuation of the movie.
Okay.
Like the movie happened, and then they did, hey, let's have more situations where this guy is being stalked by CDI. Why didn't they just start it over,
first of all? What are you asking me for?
What is NBC going to do?
I don't know.
And the CW with the Vampire Diaries beat them in the 18 to 34 demo during its hour as well.
Mm, boy, oh boy.
Ouch.
Yes. That's pretty terrible.
More live from 30 Rock with Brian Williams, I guess.
So they're pinning everything on the
Voice. Rock Center, that's what it is.
The Voice. Jared, how do you say The Voice in an Espanol sort of tinged flavor? El Voice?
I don't know what Voice is in Espanol. Mm. Sorry.
Okay. Let's see. I also have voice stories about... Sure.
Did you know that anything.
There's going to be a Jackie Brown prequel?
Yes.
I didn't know that. I'm excited for that. I like Jackie Brown a whole bunch.
Is that like Murphy Brown's sister? Jackie Brown.
Mos Def or Yasin Bey as his
name is. Mos Def?
Is going to be
your phone. His phone is going crazy over there. Siri's saying, please stop doing the show. That's a good Siri joke.
It's a really good Siri joke. Also, the West Memphis 3, those people that were accused of...
I've been following them for years.
Their movie, which is kind of still... it's now picking up steam. Colin Firth has signed on to play... who's the lawyer that does everything pro bono for them? Mm. Ron Lax. The private investigator whose pro bono work on the case made him one of the most ardent defenders of the trio.
We've got...
Reese Witherspoon is also signed on to the picture right now.
We've got the third in the documentary series. What's it? I can't remember.
Paradise Lost
recorded. It is a compelling, compelling story. It's kind of interesting because those guys that did those documentaries, also known for Blair Witch Project 2, by the way, you've got Peter Jackson, who's got his own competing documentary, and it's almost like those guys who pretty much brought the West Memphis 3 into the zeitgeist in the world are sort of being ignored for the fact that, what they did. It's very strange to me.
I don't know if they're
falling out or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm just disappointed about the use of zeitgeist in this episode.
It's been twice now. Yeah.
Said several times.
So
the Latin zeitgeist.
Here, I've got two more stories.
Zeitgeist.
Hold on. Hey, these are important. Yeah. These were suggested to me. These are stories. They are not entertainment related. They're just stories that people found interesting.
Yes.
So here's the first one. Wisconsin sisters accused of sexually assaulting man with pliers, forcing him to drink urine.
This isn't news. This is a Wednesday in Wisconsin.
Oh, hi-yo! pliers on the penis.
Sisters yes. Valerie Bartke,
24,
and Amanda L. Johnson, 17.
Both what does the L stand for? I think that's the missing piece of the story.
I wish it was Amanda R., and I would say Krob.
This is terrible. Everything's falling apart.
It is. See, it's robe because it's got an upside down exclamation point and a right side up one.
Yeah, that doesn't change the pronunciation. It changes the volume.
Oh, right.
From
I'm not Latin.
From
Somerset, I would not know.
Wisconsin, have charged
home of great sausage
with a felony count of second degree sexual assault by force and misdemeanor counts of battery and criminal
damage.
So
what do they do with the pliers? Does it say
Johnson is also charged with a misdemeanor?
Johnson, get it?
Count of intimidating a victim. Mm-hmm. The felony possesses a 25-year sentence in jail. They're each scheduled to make their court appearances on April 12th. According to court records, the 18-year-old man told police that he was at a Somerset residence on October 1st when the sisters punched him and kicked him and later put one of the man's shoes in the toilet and soaked the other in the sink. Sounds like a fun night to me. The man said...
Nothing worse than wet shoes.
Yeah. The man said the sisters later brought him a cup of liquid that they said was lemonade and forced him to drink it. It was urine from
the
sisters.
How do they force him? Does the guy not have arms or what's going on?
The man said... Here's how they forced him. The man said the sisters later forced him to undress, saying one wanted to have sex with him. they wanted to kiss the urine breath.
Well, it's not.
Barkey reportedly pulled and twisted the man's penis with pliers, while Johnson threatened him with a belt. The man said, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most pain he'd ever experienced, the incident was a 10. Johnson later ripped the man's shirt at the point at which it would not stay on his body. Johnson reportedly called the man on October 27th and threatened him, saying she would tell authorities he smoked marijuana.
Boy, this sounds like a bunch of brain dead derelicts.
So I don't know what these girls look like, but
oh, they've got to be hot. There's no doubt about that,
right? If they're good looking, I might be going over to Somerset, Wisconsin.
Do they get time off for good behavior if they buy a certain amount of Packers stock?
Maybe
we'll take 5 years off your sentence if you pledge your allegiance to.
So here's the other story, and I think this is a hilarious story. It's also local, New Ulm, so localish to us. New Ulm Elementary School responds to disturbing recess game.
Uh-oh.
Administrators at a New Ulm Elementary School have contacted the parents of fifth grade students after some children played a disturbing recess game they called Rape Tag.
Rape Tag?
Wow.
Dear, they're stealing your thing.
A letter from Washington Elementary School principal Bill Sprung went home to parents this week. Sprung says 15 to 20 students were involved in the game. The journal reports that the game is similar to freeze tag, but involved
much more raping.
100% 20% more raping.
But it involves hip thrusts to unfreeze a person.
I like that.
It's more just sex tag than rape tag, but, you know, semantics.
Okay, I've got it.
You got what?
I've got this.
Okay.
We've got a new thing. It's the Scope World Series of Rape Tag. It'll be our first video podcast, Jared.
I've got file cards.
It's like laser tag, except you use sperm.
Wow.
Wow. In a black light. I mean, you get this fairly same effect.
Yeah.
Wow. Jared's actually going through his G.I. Joe file cards while we're doing the show. We've lost him.
That's the last story.
Jared's got some sort of Hellraiser puzzle cube there. He's going to be releasing the
Kraken.
I was going to say Pinhead, but Kraken works too. Jared, we're done with news.
Yeah?
Let's go on to reviews.
I guess we're not going to leave news open to people anymore.
We did get the rape tag thing.
Alcatraz!
I think you just go right to BuzzFeed.
Get the news from
BuzzFeed.
There.
Half the stories you mentioned were on BuzzFeed today.
They're probably all the stories I mentioned were on BuzzFeed. All right. Do you want to intro anything here?
We've got a review. Go ahead.
Okay.
And it's not Rob, although it should be. Where's our random review wheel, Jared?
I keep forgetting to get it together.
We should do all random review wheel, and we should have...
Today we're reviewing Alcatraz, the new winter series from entertainment guru J.J. Abrams.
I put that there.
Guru. You put everything here. Just to put that out on the table right now. The show stars Sam Neill. Welcome to...
Does he say welcome to Jurassic Park?
He says welcome. No, he says welcome to Alcatraz.
Oh,
Sarah Jones, not Nora Jones, and Jorge Garcia.
Jorge, now you're Garcia! Getting into it. I'm just Adam's caught the fever. I'm
just pronouncing his name accurately.
Sábado Gigante.
So what's it all about? Rhetorical question. Here's a little clip of all sorts of God damn it, talking dramatic music and vague information about the plot of the show directly from Fox, the network that broadcasts it.
What place are they in?
March 21, 1963, Alcatraz officially closed. All the prisoners were transferred off the island. Only that's not what happened.
Whenever I hear him talk, I just think of...
Dressed gentlemen, we got a homicide.
What was that space movie that Sam Neill was in?
Star Wars. Fingerprints on a murder scene. Dr. David
Event Horizon.
Oh, yeah.
That scene where they're eating each other.
Goes back to Alcatraz.
The worst criminals this country has ever known are coming back.
Show me your hands!
It's like we're chasing a ghost.
Police!
You've been waiting for this.
A very, very long time.
There you go. All right. Instead of us reading a bunch of wiki-written stuff about the show, how about some fun facts instead? Here's a handful from TVLine.com, not a wiki. Number one, this is not Lost. The prisoners of Alcatraz may be lost in time somewhere, but the show is not like Abrams' island drama. I mean, it's an island. And it's a drama.
So it's exactly like it, except there's a jail.
Here's a quote.
And J.J. Abrams really isn't involved.
It's nice that there's people from Bad Robot that are so hands-on in the production because it really brings the quality of the show to another level, says star Sarah Jones. What else has she been in?
Was she in 24 or something? Maybe? Okay.
Her cans be popping every time she's running around.
Cans be popping, yo.
IMDb look up here, because I don't recognize.
I mean, I don't know if she
else.
Is or not. I have no idea.
But this is a different show entirely. For starters, viewers can jump in at any time and enjoy the standalone episodes, as each week a new villain takes center stage. Another way the series differs from the ABC drama: I wear a lot more clothes. Jokes alum, Lost alum Jorge Garcia.
Who?
Jorge Garcia.
Oh, I thought you were talking about someone else.
Number two.
She was in an episode of Justified. I don't remember that.
The baddies are really good.
Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy. That's what she is. Okay.
You're usually not supposed to like the criminals, but executive producer Jack Bender believes the show's antagonists will be exceptions to the rule. The killers that our writing team is coming up with are going to be complex and equally haunting and haunted.
Mm-hmm. And they love rape tag.
Yes.
The rape tag Alcatraz episode's coming.
Ideally, after we've done a season of the show, everybody should have their favorite killer. Almost like we're talking about baseball cards.
I didn't even realize that I cut and paste that. That's sort of dark and scary.
Killers. Number three.
Who's your favorite killer?
Get
Jared?
Personal.
Dun, dun, dun.
For the serious-minded Rebecca, the quest for answers is driven by one thing: her grandfather has a connection to the famous prison. The closer she gets to solving these crimes, regardless of if she believes them or not, the closer she gets to her grandfather. Previews Jones. The closer she gets to her past,
how close is she?
And unlocking some things in her family history and trying to figure out who she is. Meanwhile, an upcoming episode will reveal a traumatic experience, in quotes, in Doc's past. That's Jorge Garcia's character.
Oh, yeah, I like him.
Which sheds light on where his original obsession with criminology may have begun. Teases Garcia.
Wait. My goodness.
It's like you're trying out for some sort of news magazine program.
In a world. In a world where Jorge Garcia.
Who?
Jorge Garcia.
Alcatraz airs on Fox Mondays at 8 p.m., 7 p.m. Central.
Yeah.
Now on to the reviews.
Well, you're really reading off a little bit of piss and vinegar. Gerard?
We're up for a podcast Emmy, so I figured try harder.
What say you about this program?
I think we all have maybe a slightly different take on the show because we've watched different amounts of it.
Yes, we
Adam
have.
Adam has only watched the pilot. I've watched all four episodes. Shane has only watched three of them. but we're in the ballpark. Overall, I will say I'm enjoying the show so far, and I will continue with it for the foreseeable future.
Do you like it a lot?
A lot. I like it a lot. I like it well enough that I'm curious what the overarching mystery
yes.
is, and how they're going to go about selling it and stuff like that. What I don't like about it as much is it's sort of two shows, right? It's a regular police procedural.
Yes.
But there's also the mystery part of it. And I think as a police procedural, it's not very good.
It's okay.
I don't think it's very good.
They're not dealing with mystical people, you know, they have special Alcatraz powers.
It's regular
criminals.
Cop stuff.
Yeah,
but I just don't think that their cop stuff is that interesting. I think that there isn't maybe it's just a lack of the writing, but it's not very clever. I think there's a lot of leaps in logic,
yes.
And I think there's a lot of convenient clues, and the fact that somehow Doc, while it's established that he wrote a book about all the inmates at Alcatraz. He obviously memorized everything about them because
he seems to know a lot.
He needs a little bit of information and goes, "Oh, it's this guy, and he's going to do this, and we have 3 days to stop him."
Hey, wait, that guy at this diner. I know the meal that he had before he went to Alcatraz. It was peas and carrots with praline pecan ice cream. He knows very detailed things,
and it's there to propel the story forward and not get too bogged down in research and stuff like that. But it is a little bit convenient.
Yes.
I think they're a little bit better at building the mystery. They seem to have this, the way it's structured is there's obviously people have come back from the past, and they're usually either doing something, mimicking behavior that they did in the past, or they're actually put there to find something or get something that's like, usually it's involved with robbing someone to get a piece of something.
A key.
Yeah, the key or some other object. And we're not quite sure how this all fits together, but they seem to be ending every episode with, like, here is the mystery chunk, and this is the little bit we're going to reveal today. I think it sort of works. I think we'd like maybe to see them work it more into the fabric of the show a little bit better rather than just sort of being a coda at the end, but It's still fun, and it's got me interested. It's only four episodes in, and the characters are kind of still sort of gelling as to who they are and how they're going to relate and stuff like that. I still feel like they're sort of broad strokes. I like a little more detail. They did hint a little bit about Doc and his past and what has kind of caused him to be who he is. And I hope they get into that. That's more interesting. I don't like the connection between, what's the main character's name? Rebecca? Or something.
Yeah,
and her and her grandpa. I just feels hokey.
It's like we have to have this in here to give her a connection.
Her grandpa killed her partner.
I know. I don't like it. It's just crazy. It feels like it's there solely as a reason to get her involved in the project.
Why couldn't she just be a good cop who happened to be on one of the first cases got brought into it?
And this is a thing that happens in a lot of movies and TV shows is that they force connections between characters to make it seem more interesting than it is, and it doesn't always need to be there, but. I don't know. Overall, I'm enjoying the show, and I hope it gets better as it goes, and I will continue to watch it.
If you want to compare this show to Fringe, which I think is a fair thing to do, it took Fringe a good 12 episodes to figure out what kind of show it was. Now, the show that it turned into was an extremely heavy mythology show that turned its back on the procedural part.
Sure.
And in that process.
From all accounts, it's very good for the story itself, very bad at retaining an audience.
Yeah, that's exactly it. People can't keep up with it. It's like Lost, except Lost started with such huge numbers and, such good character-driven arcs that you could keep people coming along with it to the end. Fringe isn't that much different, but it just was a smaller audience to start with and a lot more sci-fi. This show is very much kind of finding its sea legs in that sense. They want to be the murder mystery of the week show with a little bit of main story, the arc sort of sprinkled in. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to, like you said, they're either going to have to do that murder mystery better, or they're going to have to be able to merge that stuff together and make it more compelling. Because
or the third piece of that is you have really great, compelling characters. I'll draw a comparison.
And they're not there on this show.
I'll draw another comparison to the show Castle, which is another police procedural murder of the week. I really often don't care about the murder of the week. It's fun. Yeah. It's interesting, but they've got a good
murder is fun.
They've got a good group of characters. They've got a great group of characters at this point, and how they interact, and they're fleshed out, and they have lives and personalities, and that's what draws me to the show. It doesn't. Yeah. There's not a big mystery or anything like that. No. It's just like these. I want to tune in to watch these characters, and so you can have the murder of the week, you can have the mythology, but you also got to have a good set of characters.
Yeah.
And they're not there yet on Alcatraz.
And it's hard because this is a difficult show. There's a lot of moving pieces and it takes time for shows like this to really come out and be successful. Hitting on all cylinders, all these things we're talking about. Lost is a rarity that you can get such a specific genre type show working so well.
And it helps that they did a 2-hour pilot that was shot as if it were a movie.
It was a movie. So,
it also really helps established that it was everything. If not the first show like that, it was the first in a long time to be like that. Yeah. So, I think there's a serial fatigue maybe going on right now with audiences,
I don't agree with that.
I think we might be coming out of it maybe a little bit. I think we hit serial fatigue with all of the clones of Lost that failed.
I just think that no one ever did it right. You know, if you did it right, it would be successful, I would think. I just think that everything that cloned Lost tried to be Lost, and it doesn't work. You need to have a bigger vision than that.
I almost think that Alcatraz might be wary of that, and so they are leaning heavily on the case of the week format.
Well, they've said, and J.J. Abrams has said that, we want this to be a show where it's accessible. That's always the word.
He said that with Fringe,
they
too.
They did, and that's why Fringe was not very good when it started.
Yeah.
And so, maybe who knows what this show turns into.
I will say, by the way, that Fringe has a consistent audience now. It's small, but my understanding is that the show is profitable enough with, what they've cut out in terms of effects and production to be on Friday nights and still keep their whatever.
I hope that's the case. And I hope Alcatraz keeps getting better. I'm with Jared. I'm not completely taken with these characters yet. I think the acting is okay. I really like Sam Neill, but they sort of have him as this brooding, super secretive guy.
Jack's dad?
Yeah. My thing is that, Jared talks about convenient plot things, and he has to keep things secret
And they don't really explain why he keeps seeing.
And quite often, he's the one who swoops in with a little bit of knowledge that starts moving the story forward in a certain direction.
So. They'll be chasing a child killer. And like, well, if we just knew this about him, well, you don't need to know that. Let's need to know. Okay, so we're going to instead watch him kidnap a kid and kill them. You know, it just. I think you need to find that balance. You need to give him that mystical, you know, I know the secrets, but you also need to not have it impede the story of capturing the criminals.
True. At the same time, though, he's not really concerned about the greater good society. Yeah. He's very focused on the inmates and the guards that were coming back and what's going on with that.
So I get it.
I can understand his motivation, but it is frustrating.
Yeah, it just, if that is his motivation, then they need to make it more apparent, you know? Maybe make him a little darker than what he is. To show, you know, kind of like this, the guys that on X-Files, you know, the Mulder and Scully's bosses weren't always on the up and up. They sort of had their own agenda, and you sort of felt that.
Sure,
but
can I say the reveal of for him at the end, near the end of episode of the first hour, is the most boring reveal that he was the one of the guards that you know discovered people missing. Like, but they made it seem like it was supposed to be like a huge reveal, and it's just like
the reveals for the second hour of the pilot, or you know, second episode, and then the second episode were pretty good, and then the
second
third
episode
one
was stronger.
Good.
Is because I mean the first inmate that comes back in the pilot is just a boring criminal. He doesn't have anything that unique about
him. And he's
not
even that bad. He's like the misunderstood criminal. So, but they always sort of show him, so maybe he's got more going on than...
Yeah. The inmates that come back in subsequent episodes are more interesting from a psychological standpoint.
Evil and twisted.
Yeah.
So, Adam, your quick opinion on it, and then we'll give it a score.
I liked it the first hour. Right. I'm always so positive about entertainment. Mandy was into it, too, which doesn't always happen with those types of shows, but, you know, whatever. I don't know. I felt like my opinion of the first hour was higher than your guys' opinion of the first three or four episodes in Jared's case, so I don't know if that means it'll take a dip, and then maybe I'll start liking it a little bit more. Or what?
I don't know. Because I
stick with it.
Yeah. I thought the second hour was better than the first. Okay. Definitely.
And I think the show's better than Terra Nova, by the way.
Terra what?
Terra Nova.
Who? But you didn't watch Terra Nova all the way to the end.
Like, yeah, I watched.
It ended very strongly, in my opinion. So we'll see. But apples and oranges.
The beginning episodes of Terra Nova were weaker than the beginning episodes of Alcatraz.
I would agree with that.
That's what I'm saying. So hopefully, if they both go on an upward trajectory, Alcatraz will be better. If they do. So let's give it a score.
The Scope score is 2.5 stars.
That's optimism right there, built right into that score.
Yeah, above average.
Yeah. Maybe we revisit at some point.
Above average.
And give our opinion of it.
It's a short season, right? It's like 13 episodes or something?
Yeah,
Yeah,
it's not a regular season, 22, 23 episodes.
Did either of you watch the finale of Chuck?
Yes.
I'm three episodes behind.
Maybe we'll wait.
Don't spoil anything, because that's one I don't want to know.
But. My plan is to... I'm not going to rewatch anything or catch up. I skipped the last two seasons, but I'm just going to watch the finale. I figure they'll do a previously on Chuck. That's good enough.
Yeah. I thought it ended well.
AV Club, dude, loved it.
Yeah.
Like, loved it. It was kind of ridiculous.
I thought your TiVos were empty, Shane.
Not anymore. Not anymore. So we've got one segment left in Under the Scope. I believe it is called Coming Soon. It's picking up a little bit with popular culture items coming out. It was a little quiet earlier in the year.
Well, January
we had
rough.
The big Lana Del Rey release.
No, I mean, we need to completely ignore everything except that, as far as I'm concerned.
All right,
Adam,
so yeah, we've got music coming out. Week of February 7th, Air has a new album coming out. I don't know if there's any Air fans out there.
The French.
The Virgin Suicide soundtrack creators, all those things. Dr. Dog has a new album for y'all. People like rock and roll.
Jared loves rock and roll.
Who's Dr. Dog?
It's a rock band.
Okay, I don't know.
Their name is Dr. Dog.
Yeah. Of Montreal. Paul McCartney has an album.
That's what it says.
The Fray. Sure. What are the phrase saying? Those guys that's like girl rock, right?
Yeah, rock would be a great way of describing it.
Van Halen.
They're back, Jared.
Which iteration of Van Halen is this?
So it's David Lee Roth.
But no, I'm sorry, is Wood... no,
Wolfgang.
Wolfgang is playing in this band.
He is, by all accounts, a better bass player now.
All right.
He does not need to be there.
February 14th, I'm glad that you picked this band out. I've never heard of them, but I love the
name. There was nobody else, so I picked this.
The Phenomenal Handclap Band. I love it. I'm going to check them out.
Okay.
Thank you for this. I love hand clapping in songs. I think it's one of the things that a spoon does.
Maybe
that.
There's no hand clapping in this.
I'm gonna be...
What if it's all hand clapping?
If it's that's all, it. I'm fine with that, too.
Just nothing but hand claps and vocals.
I like a Counting Crows song because there's hand clapping in it.
Okay. I know the one you're talking about.
Movies. February 10th. Safe House. Which one's Safe House? All right, whatever. The Vow. Which one's The Vow? Journey right, 2, The Mysterious Island. Now, is this a sequel to Journey to the Center of the Earth?
Yes.
Is it?
Why? Why would you? But yes, it is.
Wow. A sequel.
That's what I felt from the previews. I was like, that can't be right.
Jules Verne would have wanted it. I mean, definitely. Right.
Okay, did either one of you see the Journey to the Center of the Earth?
No.
Like 5 years ago? I saw parts of it on television in the hotel room while I was at WindyCon this past fall. It was terrible.
Yeah, someone once explained the plot to me about like why the Earth is stopping. Like, the Earth is stopping its rotation.
Oh.
And that they have to go to the center of the Earth to find out why. And the fake
hamster fell out of its fucking wheel. That's what happened.
Yes, they made up. Is just so laughable that it was. I remember laughing.
I've not seen you without glasses in forever.
I'm without glasses.
It's very
guys.
Strange.
February 14th.
Who are you?
This means war. I don't know which one that is.
I don't know who's on mic one.
February 17th, the new Ghost Rider movie comes out.
Oh, I saw a commercial for that today. It looks terrible.
I don't know if you guys saw Crank or Crank 2, High Voltage.
I saw the first one. I liked it.
Me
it was
too.
Just insane, and I loved it.
Yes,
I hear the second one is even more insane.
Yes, I have heard that too. And the directors, they're like two friends that directed Crank 2, directed this.
Sweet.
So maybe it's awfulness and insanity will win out.
Not a film for you, Shane. I'm just going to say that.
DVD, let's see. We've got the Breaking Dawn, the Twilight movie, part one. Downton Abbey. I can never pronounce this. Season 2.
Downton Abbey.
Lady and the Tramp. Diamond Edition.
The Diamond Edition.
Or it means that they have released the Blu-ray of it.
I think that's correct.
A Very Harold and Kumar Christmas.
It's very seasonal.
Anonymous. Which one was that? That came out. It's not about the hacker group.
No. That would be too forward-thinking.
Project Nim. I don't know.
That's a movie about apes, like military and apes.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Let's see, Paranormal Activity 3, The Rum Diaries.
I keep saying I'll see you the other Paranormal app. Back to you, Adam.
there's a found footage movie coming out. Chronicle comes out.
It's getting great reviews.
Yeah,
I
think it looks kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I'm a sucker for found footage movies. So
yeah, the guy from the kid from Parenthood and Friday Night Lights is in there too, I believe.
Yep. Human Centipede 2, Take Shelter, The Dead, and Family Matters Season 2. I'm glad that you
Take Shelter is a movie that's kind of interesting to me. You
Which
heard,
one?
Heard about
no.
that? It's like a little indie film about a guy who gets, he lives like in the middle of a farm country, and he gets a premonition or something about the world is going to end, and so he starts building a shelter of some sort, and it's just his story. Is he crazy? What's going on? And it was. I was talking to a friend of the show, Earl, about it because they had it played at his theater, and he said it was kind of interesting film.
Sounds like what was that movie where he built an ark? Michael Scott built an ark.
That would be the Bible.
Joan of Arc.
No.
Something Almighty. Evan
Bruce
Almighty.
Bruce Almighty. Evan Almighty. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Sounds like Evan Almighty.
That sounds like the movie The Bible. That's where I love that movie, The Bible.
Yeah, why not?
Last night, me and some friends watched Jesus Christ, the Vampire Hunter, and there were no boobs in that movie. I was expecting boobs.
My first question is, you have friends.
All right.
Second question.
That's not a question.
You have friends.
Okay.
Rob.
Surround that with a
upside down, upside down question mark and a right side up question mark.
All right, video games. We've moved on to video games. So you left one off here, and this is going to be my suggestion instead of Fable 2. No, it's okay. Resident Evil Revelations. And I don't know if you guys have seen this, but there is a typo on the box for Resident Evil Revelations.
No way.
They transposed
Resident Clitoris.
No, it says Resident Evil.
But the worst typo ever.
They transposed the T and the I in Revelations, so it says like Revelitons.
Oh.
And they're not recalling the box or anything. So it's like the first run of 100,000 had that.
That is crazy.
They fixed it, and Konami is just like, well, too bad.
Whatever.
Money's tight. Money is tight.
The Darkness 2. And then the other game that comes out is Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning, which is a weird... you can get the demo on Xbox if you want to try it out. It's a kind of a weird mix between...
It's a Microsoft system? the Xbox?
Yeah. Okay. Or you get it on PC or 360
for half price.
Or PS3. So it's made by Kurt Schilling's company.
Really?
And he's huge into video games.
That's
like,
very strange to me.
He played EverQuest he was obsessed with EverQuest while he was still on the Red Sox or something.
Huh.
It's a mix between a single player version of WoW and Fable and Skyrim.
What are people saying about it?
So it comes out next week, but there's been two earlier reviews that have come out. IGN gave it a 9 out of 10, but IGN's also one of those places that you can essentially buy good reviews for, it seems like.
Mm. I don't recall ever seeing anything less than an 8 on their site.
Yeah. They gave Dragon Age 2 an 8.5, and that was a terrible game by any sort of measurable anything. But two blogs that have podcasts that I listen to, both the two guys that are playing it on those two sites, they both seem to like it a whole bunch, but I think they're embargoed from reviews until next Tuesday. Hmm. So I would definitely check out the demo.
All right.
It seems, yeah. I mean, I pre-ordered it. Newegg has it for $15 off, so it seems like a good enough deal. Yeah. And since I have no games to play anymore, since I
got rid of them all in half.
and stopped playing Star Wars.
System.
And then finally, the Twisted Metal.
God, I used to play Twisted
Metal. Twisted Metal with no number. Much. Just Twisted Metal.
It's back. Rebirth. It's
the first Twisted Metal game.
My good buddy Mike Craven and I, we used to play Twisted Metal too.
Did you?
I mean, we probably beat that game 100 times. It was just fun. I don't know why, on our little 20-inch television screen.
Chuck Jaffe had
that game was something else. Mr. Grimm and Sweet Tooth.
I never had a PlayStation 1, 2, or 3, so I never played it.
Well, that'll be our topic of our next show, Jared. PlayStation. PlayStation talk. Okay. Is
that it? Yeah.
All right, Jared.
What?
We're done with that aspect. That's aspect. Under the scope. This is what happens when you don't do a show for a month. You record a show that lasts a month.
Do you know that our friend of the show, Molly, is performing a dive into an icy lake today?
Wow.
For cancer.
She might get cancer.
Yep. Ice cancer. But good for her.
What are we doing this portion of the show?
This is your portion of the show, Jared, where you read viewer, listener commentary and just give general information. And stop yawning.
All I have is an email from the great hater of Mexicans, Luke Ski.
Oh, God.
Zing! He writes in, "Hey, Scopers, comment one. When I was living in Kansas City in the late 90s, my best friend Jason got me back into watching wrestling. We saw the Macho Man Gene Okerlund interview with the 'Your mustache is crooked' exchange when it first aired and thought it was hilariously awesome. We would quote it to each other all the time. We even submitted a video we made to WCW Nitro Party Contest they did, part of which contained as us recreating that scene in costume. Jason was Randy, he was Gene."
I want to see a picture of that. We must have that.
I want to see that. Yeah, you probably don't have the video anymore. But
oh, he has it. Luke Ski, get to it.
When you said that you were going to play a clip of Macho Man, I thought to myself, I hope it's a mustache clip, and indeed it was.
Of course.
You made me very happy, thank you very much. And then he asked, wondering if we would share
it. Did you send it to him?
I don't have it. Oh, I thought you would have sent it.
Oh, I thought you sent it.
I think I deleted it.
Uh-oh. Well, I don't know. There
we'll
you
go. Look for it.
We'll look for it again, Luke. It's on YouTube. I mean, that's where I got it from, so.
Comment 2 is a long list of places that he suggests that me and Angie go to next time we're in Disney World. And
sex
then
clubs.
Closes it up with, "I really enjoyed the Disney World report from Jared. I'm hoping to go there with Sarah for a vacation time the next 2 years." So yeah, I'm glad somebody enjoyed it, because I felt it went long, but apparently Luke felt it differently.
I hated it, but that's all right.
That's fine. That's our comment for today.
We only take one comment. We get one comment, and then we turn the feed
off.
No more comment.
Comment of the show. We only get one. So if you want to see if you can be the one comment of the show, or you can write us at commentsoftheScopeshow.com.
Quick, you got to get it in fast.
Call the voicemail line, 612-21-SCOPE. Don't forget, we're looking for Luke Ski to call in and tell us all about Tennessee Tuxedo.
And his hatred of Mexico.
Sorry.
And that video.
Too late, guys. We already got a comment. So
you just sent one. Adam just screwed up our comment.
If you want to, you'll have to wait till next week if you want your next show, if you want your comment.
We might have to adjust that bit to have two comments of the show.
Guys, we just got a second comment.
Ah!
Too many comments, folks. Too many comments.
We can't.
Stop commenting, please. You can also like us on Facebook. We are facebook.com/thescope. And we're on Twitter. Our handle is thescopeshow. I keep checking periodically whether or not the scope is available, and it's just parked. Somebody has it and doesn't do anything with it. It's kind of annoying. So I don't know what the process is for maybe claiming unused handles on Twitter. If anyone has any advice on that, you can contact us via the previously mentioned things.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. iTunes reviews, donations, subscriptions, all on the website. As always, I like to point out, if you're making a purchase through Amazon.com, come through our site first. Click on the link. We get a little bit. I just had to add that into my taxes today or yesterday.
Really? A lot.
You gotta send me some of that cash so I can pay for DreamHost, or we should switch off DreamHost.
Are you paying for hosting?
Yeah,
you are. Yeah. Since when?
The whole time.
I thought you. All right, we'll have to talk about this off
air. Off air, guys. Come on.
Because this stuff that will cover that.
You and your stupid crooked mustaches.
Anyway.
Right. Oh yeah.
That is it for comments.
We got to pay for the DreamHost. Oh yeah.
That's it, Jared. Comments are over. You're not gonna plug anything.
Oh shit. Yeah. We usually ask about plugs.
Oh, Jared.
What's up? Yeah.
Excuse me, Jared.
Yeah.
Before we stop the show, is there anything that you're producing that you'd like to talk about?
You know, come to think of it, Shane, now that you bring it up, my band Possible Oscar is performing at MarsCon.
It's a smaller, tighter unit.
It's an outfit.
And that's just your ding dong.
Yay!
Minifig.
Minifig.
So my minifig. Anyway.
Gotta write that down. Minifig.
MarsCon in Bloomington, Minnesota, March 9th through the 11th. We are performing on Saturday the 10th, 2 p.m. main stage, starting the day for the MarsCon Music Dementia track. If you're going to be there, come check us out. It's going to be fun.
I love it.
Yeah.
I might even check it out.
Okay.
Adam will not.
No, I might go this year.
Fun.
Do I get a discount by bringing a canned good again?
Are they doing a canned good discount?
I have no idea what that even means.
That was mini-con.
Yeah,
I'm thinking of something completely different.
How about you could work at the Luke Ski merchandise table, and you could get a free pass?
Not wearing a halter top, and I know that that's his requirement.
He does love the halter tops, doesn't he?
It's true.
It's true.
Very true.
Does he love halter tops as much as he hates Mexicans?
Only Luke can answer that in his forthcoming phone call, Shane.
This guy is going to go ballistic on you, Jared.
I feel like I need to mention him because I listened to his show, Bad Rapport, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport, which you can find at badrapport.com. If you don't know how to spell rapport, get a dictionary.
I don't.
Anyway, my name seems to get mentioned on just about every episode there. In a
sexual way?
No, in regards to some sort of musical thing that I probably helped with. So I don't feel obligated, but I think it's a bit of a quid pro quo, I guess, that Luke gets mentioned on our show just about every time.
Jared might qualify as the hardest working Latino in the business with all of his...
That's how I introduced him on my late night talk show.
I think that might have been one too many, Shane. I think we could have skated clear on this show. People would have given us a pass, but now you've sullied our reputation.
Then my only response would be, ay caramba. Ay Dios mío.
Ninja Turtles coming back.
Exactly. And with that, we end the show. All right, so listen, everybody. 119 is mercifully over. See you in 2 months with 120. Later.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing...
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying...
Buenas tardes.
Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope. Oh.